Accession number 11038, Reel 1.
Mr. Bill Towers, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Towers?
I was born in Leeds, near St. James's Hospital, Leeds, in 27th of June, 1896.
And what did your father do for a living?
He was a brick setter. That was his job.
And how many were there in the family?
Three of us. Mother and father, and sister and brother. And two sisters and brothers, one died.
Could you tell me something about your upbringing? You know, how you, whether it was comfortable or otherwise?
Well, yes, it was fairly comfortable. And I enjoyed my life as a young boy. And that, and grew up, and that. And, but I was a...
Were you properly fed and clothed?
Yes, it was a struggle, you know. We had to have good old fast-passion food, buy a beast cheek and boil it and make a rock pot and all like that. Anyway, we got by, we did well.
What school did you go to?
Beckett Street School, just pulling it down now.
And what kind of an education did you get there?
It was a general education. We started at 3 and we were taught discipline. And then I was working the day I was 13. My uncle got me a job, and I was working the day I was 13.
Did you belong to any of the boys' organisations, like the Boy Scouts?
Had them. Oh, there was Boy Scouts, but no, I never joined them. But after the school, we formed a football team, and I have the photograph of it, and it's been in the post on record. The do-it-yourself football team. We had to buy our own clothes.
What was it called? Tell me about it.
It was called... I forget the name now. Bermontoffs. And it's still going, this Bermontoffs team.
And how did you set it up?
We won the tours. One lad, his father was a caretaker at the school. And we went in their yard at night, and we had a meeting. We were only 13. We had this meeting. We're going to form this club, football club. We had to collect our pennies every week to buy a ball, and then we got somebody to make us a football post. That was a tripod like, and a 2x2 pole, a 3x3, and clothesline down. We used to put them down and passing the clothesline for the goalpost. But we went to the public park and put them there and marked it with sawdust. But four of us had to stand there till the afternoon because somebody had come on and take one move up there on it pitch. And we used to go on like that. And it was in the Evening Post. I could show you a photograph of that.
Who would you play?
Other junior teams in Leeds, you know. There was other junior teams, but invariably they were older than us. But we got by.
Enjoyed your football
then?
Oh,
yes, I loved football. That was the first thing I thought when I lost my leg. I thought, oh, no more football. That was my first thought.
Did you go and support other teams? I mean, when you weren't playing?
No, when I come home after the war.
No, I mean before the war.
No, I didn't, no.
Did you have any other hobbies or sports you were interested in?
No, I don't think so, not really. I did a bit of skating when it was frosty up at Roundy Park on the ice. Of course, them days the snow was trodden hard and we used to go skating right up there and come back and skate all the way on the with a curled up blade so you could get curbs. In those days we could skate a lot.
What about your job? You left school when you were 13.
Yes.
So that would be about 1909.
Yes.
What job was planned for you?
I don't know if you remember. Picture house fronts were all ornamental. And they're still in Leeds, there's a lot of it yet. Terracotta ornamental in with the bricks. Well, we had to model that in clay and plaster before they could cast it. And I did that.
So it was part of the brickworks, was it?
Well, no, it was part of building works. We did this ornamental part, not the bricks, did it?
Do you remember how you went about it?
Yes, I know. You get the drawing. There's a drawing of the old front, and then the sectional drawings, and then we had to match it. And it was funny, we had 6 2-foot rules, all different lengths, that were for different clays that shrunk, had different shrinkage, you see. They looked, seemed so funny there. 6 different rules, 2 foot long, but they were one longer than the other. And that. And we did all that. And then I did 5 years. And then
that sounds quite skillful.
It was skillful in them days.
Were you being an apprentice?
Or? Yes, yes. I'd doing 5 years apprentice, and I'd other 3 to do.
And what was the apprenticeship called?
Well, he went in as an apprentice, that's all. There were no articles like that.
An apprentice builder, or?
No, no, just apprentice model maker.
That's what you were called, a model maker.
Yes, model maker, and that. And
did you have any other duties there?
No, that was the only one. And that...
that kept you busy, did it?
Yes, permanent, yes. It was a good, nice job. It was a nice job in those days. But when we come out of the army...
I'll come back to that, because I'll be coming on to that. Mm. So you'd make them, and then who would fire them?
Who would fire them? All the... It went through a process. You made it. We made this model, then the moulder would take a mould off it, and then the presser would press clay into it to take the shape, and then it was dried in a drying shed, then it was glazed, then went into the kiln to be burnt. The mushroom kilns and round kilns that went into. Mm.
And would you learn all those parts, or were you just learning the model
making? We just did the model making.
And what sort of skills were involved in the model making? Can you remember? I mean, what was it that needed 5 years apprenticeship, for instance?
Well, imagine you get a job, it's all twists and shapes and all way, and you have to have it accurate for when they go there, the bricklayer just sets it. If it was a dome, it would in all sections, we'd have to make it in all them sections and have it there. So, to start with, make it.
And what different types of clay were used?
Well, it was all different kinds. They had the different kinds of clay to match the glaze. You see, the glaze had to work in with the clay. If you put one, you had the one clay, and they put a certain glaze, it would go crazy. And they had it to, the scientists knew, the chemists knew. What to do, which glaze and for which clay.
And you were working on this from 1909 until the war started?
Well, 1914.
In 1914, did you see the war coming at all? Did you read newspapers or follow
yes, two we did, and we were going, 4 or 5 of us, were old colleagues, we were going to on a day trip to Skegness.
What, on the actual August the 4th?
The 4th, I think it was.
Could you tell me what you remember about that day?
Oh, we thought we were hilarious. We were going to join up. And that, we went to Skegness and that, and they were everything normal as far as I know. And that was with us.
How did you find out?
Oh, paper. On the papers, you know. There were no radio or television.
And what did you think?
Well, we talked about joining up, and we delayed it a bit to finish out. When it got to November, I decided to go and join up.
I'll come back to that. What made you want to join up? I mean, can you do... I know it's a long time ago, well, but can you remember?
Not really, because I only got 12 and 6 a week as an apprentice in those days, and I had to pay for mother something, a big lot of it, and I got so much back spending. But if you went into the army, you got a shilling a day, and all found. So that was a big attraction. And I loved horses, and I wanted to get in cavalry. But when I went to join the cavalry...
I'll come back. What about the patriotic thing? Did that affect you at all?
Yes, I think we were more patriotic then. We thought Germans weren't taking down a peg and that.
Was that very important to you then?
Yes, I think it was.
What made you so patriotic, do you think?
We thought our country was the best of all countries, you know. We were in school... We had this motto put up, I am ready to do the right thing at the right time. We had to repeat that every morning when we went in. And we were generally taught to be proud of this country.
So it wasn't just to get the better pay?
Oh, no. Well, that had a big thing in it. It was a bit of each, you know.
Did what your friends were doing and what you know, the mood. Did that affect you at all?
No, two or three of us said we'd go, and then we did, and there was only me turned up at the first, and they, the others didn't go till later, and then they had to go. I went on my own.
So you weren't really affected by what your friends did?
No, I think I was leader.
What about things like recruiting posters? Did they affect you at all? Do you remember any of them having an effect?
Well, we didn't see many of them till after. That Kitchen and Ege who came on after.
So you were already in the army?
I'd already got in the army.
Now, you said you wanted to be in the cavalry. Yes. When did you make your first attempt to try and get in the army?
Well, that day I went down, I decided to go down. I didn't tell mother and father I was going. I went down, and I wasn't old enough. I was on the age was 19, it to be 19, I was only 18. And the chap said, well, the cavalry's full up, but if you go in the artillery, you'll be still with horses. So that's it, I said that.
Which recruiting office was this?
Fenton Street, Leeds. Fenton Street Barracks, Leeds.
And you say you were too young?
Yes, I was underage, a year.
But they still...
I told them I was 19.
Did they know you were not? Did they believe you?
Well, they wanted us bad. Because when they measured me, and he says, can you stretch up a bit? I also remember, and I stretched up, he said, that'll do, you're in.
So you think they realised you were underage?
Oh, yes, they know that. There's quite a few of them did it.
What about the medical? You mentioned the height test. What about the chest expansion and things like that?
No, I didn't do it. I don't think they ever did that. As long as you went in.
So there was no
checks like there was in the Second World War.
You didn't get much of a medical then?
No.
Was there anything else that you had to do at Fenton Street?
Well,
we
went in civilian clothes, and they were drilling us in civilian clothes, just training us so we could march from the barracks to the station.
So, when you went and signed on, that same day, yes. You went off?
No, the next day.
So you went back home?
Home.
What did you tell your parents then?
Yes.
And what did they say?
They said, well, if it's you who wants to go, go. And I said, I've signed on, that's it.
Why didn't you tell them beforehand?
I don't know. Well, I don't think they'd have allowed me. Because their parents had more control over us in them days than they have today.
But having done it, they weren't too cross?
No. Because I said I wanted it.
Were they upset at all, your mother?
Oh, they was upset. Very upset. Mother was, anyway. And that.
Did that upset you, or...?
No, it didn't. I was determined to go. Eh? And that would talk about doing us bit. That's it.
Now, what did you have to... You had to go the next... Do you remember the date you joined up?
November 1914.
So, this next day, you reported to the barracks.
Yes.
In civilian clothes. Did you have to take anything else with you?
Yes. Combs and sound, just one or two things. Personal things, that's all.
You had to report to Fenton Street?
Fenton Street.
And what happened there?
They marched us down to the station and put us on a train. We didn't know where we were going. We finished up in York. And then it turned out that I was... when we got to York, it was a territorial regiment I'd been put in, and they were understaffed.
Now, you joined the Royal Artillery.
Yes.
Did you know what part of the Royal Artillery you were in at that stage?
No.
What was the name of this territorial unit there?
West Riding Artillery, West Riding Division, 49th Division.
And do you know its number?
49th Division, 245 Brigade.
245, oh, this is when you joined,
yes,
and
yes.
You served the rest of the war with them, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, but we went into the First Army when we went to France.
So you just joined 245 Brigade
yes.
At York?
Yes.
And which battery, do you remember?
B battery.
B battery. And where were you billeted in York?
There was a cooperative store, and we were took up the ballroom above. We had that for our billet. And there was stables were just down the road, called a place called Walker's Repository. We used to take horses upstairs there to bed.
Right. Could you describe... We might as well have a look at what sort of conditions you lived in before we look at your training for the army. What were the billets like above the co-op?
was a ballroom. We had poly boards, a little stand with boards on, and then we had a poly ass and a blanket, and we were all round the floor.
About how many were you in the room?
About 30, I think, as far as I can remember.
Did you find the bed comfortable?
Oh, no. We got used to them. I wish we'd have had them later on. That was comfortable.
Who had to keep the room clean? I mean, was that part of your daily job?
Daily, but you had to tidy everything up yourself. Fold your bed up and roll your kit and all that, and have it put straight.
Would you have regular kit inspections?
Yes. Well, we didn't get any kit for a while.
Were you still in civilian?
Yes, I was in civilian. Then I got riding breeches, and that's all I had for a while, a civilian coat. We got it in bits and starts, you know.
Didn't that make you a bit untidy?
Oh, it did. Wasn't supposed to go out, but you wanted to go out in your khaki trousers. Anyway, eventually we got our uniform, and that was it.
What was the food like at York?
Well, it was terrible, I thought, when going from home and that. But
what was wrong with it?
I don't know. It seemed to be all mixed up. It was all in a Dixie brought up to you and ledley out. And they used to cook all the meat. When they cooked meat, they cut the fat and the lot and put it in and boil it. And you could see the fat swimming on the top. And they used to stir it, give you a ladle full and that. And then there was a plum pudding and all that day. You used to have to put gravy on it or something. Oh.
Would you eat in the ballroom, in the room where you...
We had an old chapel. Just down an old chapel that was being emptied. And what they call right section was A and B downstairs and C and D upstairs. And I know that the first job I had a little nice blue shirt suit on that I'd made before I went. And they used to carry this soup up these wooden steps. Well, they spilt it, where all the steps were greasy. And the sergeant came to me and says, "Look, I want you to go to the cookhouse after dinner, get a bucket of hot water and tell them to give you some cloths and soap and scrub these steps." I said, "But I'm in these clothes, it'll ruin them." He says, "You're in the army now, you do as you're told." We're only young lads, you know. So I just scrub them steps, then ruin my suit, and that was it.
What other meals would you have?
It was a crazy meal.
What was breakfast?
I don't know what we had. Well, now and again we got a kipper. One kipper. And that. And I know we got a shilling a day, but they knocked a sixpence off a week. So I was inquisitive. I said, "What did I knock that sixpence off for?" "Well," he says, "so sometimes you get a kipper, don't you, in the morning?" I said, "Yes." "Well, that's it. That's what you pay for extras, sixpence out of your shilling a day." Sixpence one day, only once in a week.
Sixpence a week?
Yes.
Was it that it was badly cooked and prepared and given to you, or was it bad quality?
Oh, quality was all right, but badly cooked. It was cooked in everything was done in a Dixie tin on the fire.
But the ingredients were okay?
Oh, I think they were good for ingredients.
What about the quantity? Was there enough to keep you?
Well, there was for me, because I didn't like it. We used to go out to a cafe next day if we'd sealed out next door.
A private cafe?
Yes, a private cafe, and buy something.
What would you buy there?
Oh, buns or something like that.
What about, you mentioned when you had to do the steps in your uniform.
Yeah.
How did you react to being in the army and the discipline of the army, the sort of lifestyle of it?
Well, it wasn't what I'd expected. We'd been in a territorial lot. This territorial unit I was in was in a local village, a suburb of Leeds, and everybody interrelated. And we were called foreigners for ages after.
So this territorial unit, although it was in York, it had come from Leeds?
Leeds, yes, it came
from Leeds. So you were a bit of an outsider?
Oh, definitely outsiders. Always was. Never, all the time I was with them, never was an outsider. Everybody was interrelated, all friends with one another. And so if you wasn't from that village, he had it.
And how many of the... So, how many of them weren't from the village? In other words, how many of them were like you?
Very few, about...
In your...
Eight or nine, that's all, I think.
Eight to nine in the whole of the battery?
Battery, I think so.
And out of how many men, about?
Oh, I don't know how many men there is in the battery now. There's six. There's three teams of drivers, that's three in each team, and about 12 gunners. And that rest were corporal, bombardier, corporal, sergeant, and sergeant major. Oh, it'd be about, it'd be under 30 to each gun, I should think. It'd be 25 to each gun.
And four guns?
Yes, so four guns.
So around 100, yes. Right, give or take?
Yeah.
So you were very much on your own. Did the other outsiders and yourself, did you sort of band together?
Yes, I was friends. But we stuck together mostly.
So you weren't completely on your own?
No, not completely, no.
Were they actually unfriendly to you? Or was it just that they weren't friendly?
They were, at some times, very unfriendly, and then they seemed to mellow that down, and then friendly. But if there's any dirty work to be done, it was the outsiders that got it.
Can you give me an example from the early days of how they might be unfriendly to you? You know, when you first got to you, what sort of things would they do?
They give you... stupid jobs, if it's a dirty job.
You mean like doing the stairs?
Yes, like that. Or sticking horses to water, if you're in a field and a clomping, you to lead them and they're splashing mud up. Take so-and-so's horses to water.
Now that sounds like the NCOs.
Yes, NCO it was doing.
What about the actual other ranks? You know, the other gunners and drivers. Right. Did they behave badly?
Well, they did. I could tell when we went from there to. Oh, I could tell you about that.
Is that later on?
Later on.
Oh, we'll come to that. But were they generally unfriendly as well, the other gunners and drivers?
Well, some was and some wasn't. I know when I went into the wash. We were getting washed at this billet in New York. Now there's a wash base, another chap here. He says, "Now then, how do you like the army?" Well, I said, "Up to now, I thought we were going to like it, but I don't like that." That sergeant, I said, "He's made me wash some steps down." And I said, "Run me trousers." He says, "That's my brother." So I said, "So was the start with." Eh? I'd said something about him.
Would they bully you at all?
No, they didn't bully you, no. No.
So they wouldn't push you about?
No.
Were they verbally nasty?
Yes, they used to... all sergeants are verbally nasty if they want you to do anything.
What about the other gunners and drivers? Were they cussing?
Oh, no, they were all right then, mostly.
So it was mainly your problem was with the sergeants?
Sergeants and that. And they giving you the jobs that they knew, these young fellas, it was privates and gunners.
What about the actual discipline of the army? Did that bother you, what you were told when you were told?
Oh, no, I didn't know. It came naturally because we'd been taught it at school, actually, when we were young. And that's it. We obeyed orders.
And you didn't mind that?
No. It was natural to us.
What about the lack of privacy? I mean, you couldn't be on your own,
Oh, well, that didn't seem to bother you at all. You got used to that. And that didn't bother you at all. I wanted to be had freedom, like, and I had it when I went into the army. I'd become free from like in home life, you're tied to the home and that, now being let loose, you see. And that was it.
Now, what about, let's look at your training now. Starting, perhaps take a typical day to look at some of it. Now, you joined up as a driver,
No,
a
gunner. I didn't join up as anything, I joined the artillery. And then when I got to York, we were on the station, and there was a sergeant came, and he said, "When I call your names out, step out." Anyway, called my names out, so-and-so. Gunner Towers, so I stepped out. I wasn't a big lad, and I thought gunners had to be big, and I stepped out, and that's how I became a gunner. I didn't want to be a gunner, I wanted to be a driver. Anyway, you had to do as you're told.
So, what would a typical day's training be like? I mean, would you, as a gunner, what sort of things would you do?
Well, they took you with a gun team onto a gun. We had a target. That gun sat here in the target.
Which gun was it?
A 15-pounder gun that was obsolete in South African War. And they had a little shell, 8-inch by 3, and it had a plug in the top with a square hole, and in the limber there was a key. You need to get there, and unscrew that out, open a box, and there's a fuse, screw that in and get a key and tighten it, and then undo the nut at the top, and there's some rings, and you had what we call a corrector bar. It's like a rule, a sliding rule, and they give you a range and correction and so on, so, and that told you what fuse had to be. So you had to set it, turn it up, and tighten it up, then put it in the gun, and then you got those two little bags, a red one and a white one. You put a red canvas bag in there, and a white one after it. Close the breech. Then you had a T-tube, which was a half-inch square brass with a quarter round it. Put it in and turn it, and then drop the handle. Then you're ready for fire, and if it didn't go, it'd fire again, count 10 and run.
That sounds quite complicated.
It was a stupid gun, it was obsolete.
That's much more complicated than the 18 pounds.
Oh, right? It was a Donald. They come in a later 15.
I'll be asking you about. So, you were learning how to do this?
How to lay guns and all like that.
The bit you've described mainly, that's of an ammunition number and a loader, isn't it?
Yes, that's it. Well, you're in a team. The gun layer was on the...
What was the gun layer's job? Because you haven't mentioned that. How did the gun layer go about?
You know the shield at the front? You had a dial sight on there. It's a round thing with a wing nut with a foresight and a backside, and it was graduated round there, degrees right or left. And you'd have aiming posts out there somewhere. And you'd just set that to the 50 degrees left, like that. Screw it, tighten it up, and then turn the gun round till you're dead on that target. That was what that was for. And then when they give you the range, you had the range, and we laid it, and they give you, collaborated with the yards. And you turn it round to that, and that elevated it or lowered it, and that when you got to a certain place, that was it. But you always had to go a bit further back because the officer would come like that, and the slack on the thread would take it down. So we knew how to do it. No, that's how it to lay it.
Any other jobs on the gun crew?
Oh, then there's the loading. That's what I told you with fuses, and the other. The other fellow sat there to have fired it.
What did he actually do?
Just fired it.
Pull the lanyard?
Pull that, it's a lever.
A lever?
A lever, like that, and pull it there. But it bumped back, did the gun, had to keep away and bang it, and it banged back at him. And then run up, and sometimes a springer, there were different coil springs in this recoil. You break one, and some of it. Sometimes you had to fire with it broken, but as soon as it fired, we'd have to rush and push it back, help to give it a bit of extra push to get it back in its place. Oh, the queer guns.
How long did it take you to get the rudiments of gun drill?
Well, we went to Hull on garrison duty later.
Oh, hang on, I'll come. But while you were training at York, how long did it take before you'd learned most of the
I got the rough idea of teamwork. But it was after when I learnt most.
So, at York, they just showed you how to do it?
Yes,
really.
That's it, and with gun team. And sometimes you'd have junior officers with you in the same team learning.
Was there anything else you learnt while you were at York?
No, don't think so. We wasn't there long. I forget what time
I'll check that for you. Mm. Did you do any basic drill?
Yes. At York, we did... rifle drill, and that. Just did learning slope arms, present arms, and all that. There's about six of us all together doing it, you know, that. And until we got proficient at it.
What did you think of it? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I enjoyed it. I had enjoyed it becoming a man then. And that was it.
And did you do any PT?
No, no. We had an officer who was he'd like Harrier to be Harrier. And he used to say, anybody who would like to go for a run in the morning, first thing, joined me, and he went out off on a run while we out. I like to go for a run round.
Did you go?
Yes, oh, I went. I like running.
And how far would you go?
We went, it was round the woodshed, wood stack, all wood, all stacked. And we went right round, it was a good run. Because he said, drop out, and if, don't overdo it, if you want to feel tired, drop out. But we didn't do bad, we used to go, and enjoyed it.